Order will take care of some business here, waiting for your lunch to arrive. Happy New Year, everybody. First item of business is to consider the meeting minutes from November 19th. Are there any corrections or additions? What's that?
Can you remember November?
Heck no, I can't remember last week.
I make a motion to approve as written.
Okay. Second.
Moved and seconded, we approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we're beginning a new year, so it's time to elect a chair and vice chair. Beginning with chair, this is open to any voting member, so I'll take nominations to fill that position, please.
I'd like to nominate Chris Hart to the chair.
Second.
Other nominations.
Jimmy Hughes.
Really?
Chair.
Okay. So, we'll vote on that then. There was a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, and conduct the meeting. I get to stay in the same seat. Nice.
Hey, it's good.
And now nominations open for vice chair.
Nominate Justin Sipp.
I'll second that.
Current acting vice chair. Well, he's got enough vice to fill a position.
Is that in the vice way?
Don't tell cops.
Any other nominations? I do have a second on this. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Done. Let's see. I don't think we want to get into a present. Well, still no food. Myron, how long is this presentation?
So the presentation will be about 15, 20 minutes. I can go over the next item if you'd like on the agenda.
Okay, if it's okay with everybody, we're going to jump to item 2D then and give Myron a little time on these items and wait for the presentation till our lunch arrives. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so on item, where's my agenda? There we go.
2B. 2D.
On item 2D. Consider programming recommendations from the technical committee for the 2025 through 2029 TIP year. At our technical advisory committee meeting last month, the group had several nominations for projects. Amongst those nominations, are the projects that are listed there in the thing, and I just wanted to go over a couple of them real quick. For the $150,000 that we decided to set aside for the ITS projects, that's money that we typically set aside every year for ITS projects. That money has benefited this area in many ways, primarily with cable conduits and signal boxes and other ITS projects. But we wanted to call that out specifically. I'm trying to find my River Road project here. Okay, so the first the next project on there is they decided to put $1.6 million to improve the intersections on River Road at 100 South and 700 South. At 100 South, we would add a right turn lane, a free right turn lane on the westbound leg, and two through lanes with a dedicated left turn lane. I don't know if you can see that on there, but
you got room to do that?
Let's see.
So are they taking out?
So that's on 100 South.
Don't you take away our Chick-fil-A?
Excuse me. It was two left turn lanes, two receiving lanes, and two westbound lanes on that leg. And then, let's see, we would maintain two left turn lanes here and add a second left turn lane on the southbound leg. These interchange improvements will require some right-of-way take on this southwest corner of the project. But this would allow us to move traffic through that intersection at a little better rate. As a second portion of that project, we would do interchange or intersection improvements at 700 South. And this is where we're adding that right turn lane here with two through lanes westbound, two through lanes eastbound. We're going to add a right turn lane on the northbound leg. These capacity improvements are needed to handle the traffic that we're seeing now on 700 South. There's a lot, because that turns into Foremaster over the hill, we're getting a lot of traffic westbound on that road, and so that those additional lanes on that west leg of that intersection would really benefit that traffic. DTEC thought it would be best to put $1.6 million to that project, which would fully fund the project with the St. George City local match.
So they're cutting into the north side of Foremaster where the hospital's sign is?
Yes.
And moving sidewalk back?
Yes.
So that's both projects.
And 100 South, what is the take only on Fabulous Freddy's or other parts?
On the Fabulous Freddy's.
It's no relocating businesses or anything, just the edge of the roadways where we can try and get that dual northbound left in. That's the biggest key, to try and get a little bit more capacity of 100 South. I'm surprised nobody said, well, wait, this doesn't look right. The square inside looks like it's rotated a little bit.
People don't watch.
In addition to that $1.6 million allocation, another project that was nominated for the TIP funds, and we were programming the 2029 TIP funds. The other project was a Hamblin Road, otherwise referred to on our long-range plan as Western Corridor North section. The section of roadway that we would improve with these funds would take it from what do you call your desert?
Black Desert.
Black Desert down to into 200 East in Ivins. This is a project that was nominated by Santa Clara and Ivins, and we determined that we would be able to contribute $1.7 million to that project. The other two projects on the agenda there are a bike route wayfinding plan and an active transportation plan update for St. George. There was one other nomination that came up during the meeting at DTAC, and we'll bring that project at a later date. But we felt like it would be important to do a regional active transportation plan that looks at regional trails throughout the whole MPO. And because we didn't have a concept report or a cost estimate on that project, we decided we would come back at a later time and scope that out a little bit better. I am assured that process is coming. With these programmed amounts, we would anticipate we would still have about $600,000 left over for that regional active transportation plan if it needs that much. And we would continue to take other nominations.
I just had a question about when we're doing these explorations, especially of active transportation, do you guys consider, or do the engineers who are doing it consider, like, new and innovative ideas, like, in the sense, like, recommending new ideas? I'm just curious about, I saw these crosswalks in New Zealand where they do the X, right? So, like, the entire intersection stops, and then you see these.
Everybody goes red.
Everybody goes red, everybody crosses, and I see a few spaces in St. George, like 100 South and 1000 East, where there's heavy crossing use by students, that we might want to experiment with things like that. So I'm just curious if a recommendation to do something completely different that we've never done before would come from, like, this exploration that you're doing with active transportation, or where that type of thing would come from, would be experimented with.
Well, yes. We're with the St. George City Active Transportation Plan update. We would lean on Lloyd Sutton to lead that effort. And if he were to come up with those ideas, then we would want to do a safety analysis and look at that. With our SS4A, Safe Streets for All safety plan, we looked at existing conditions and what we could do to improve safety with our existing conditions, and we came up with several items that we could do to improve safety. That particular idea hasn't been put forth at this point, but that is something that we could consider with the active transportation plan update. Any other questions on this list? With that, Mayor, what we're looking for here today is a motion to program those funds as outlined.
Any further discussion?
So, real quick, so it's like I come up with $3,813,404. That sounds about right. And you say there's 600 left in the account, or?
Yeah. Well, so the money that we have not programmed yet are the carbon reduction plan funds and the transportation alternative program funds that we have left. We had $3.3 million of STP funds to program, and that's where we get the 1.6 to River Road and 1.7 to Hamblin Parkway. The other expenditures, the $363,000 on the wayfinding signs and the active transportation plan, those would be carbon reduction program funds. We still have our TAP funds out there.
So in the motion, we need a dollar amount to make this, or we just close out? How do you want that worded?
Just a motion to accept under 2D, okay. As just explained.
Just one question, if you don't mind. Now, on the River Road, that was for both projects at 100 South and 700 South,
yes.
Correct?
Yes. Yeah. I'll make a motion that we approve item 2D as written.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
With the new administration coming as of yesterday, do we need to worry about the carbon reduction principle?
We need to worry about it.
That's a good
question,
Augie.
Pay anything on it.
The carbon reduction program was fully funded for 5 years. Our fifth year will be next year. So these funds are current fiscal year 2025 funds.
Second motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Done. Okay, we're going to jump back and go ahead and go through the program. We might just end the meeting before the food arrives anyway, in which case you can just go get your meals and we'll sit here and chat and then have have COG after.
Hey, Mayor, yep. The way to fund those two improvements on River Road would be for Cameron to instruct the police to give tickets to all of the red light runners on the left-hand turn. I think they'd raise millions
it's
just those two locations.
It's crazy how that has evolved, because literally you can expect two or three cars to go through when your light's green, right?
Can we just make a donation and not pay the tip? Oh,
wait,
I'm not. I mean, I'm speaking for others, of course.
How they do it in Santa Clara is not me.
All right, we're going to jump back to item 2C, and Chris Chestnut, where are we?
He's in behind us here.
All right, floor is yours.
Myron, is there a way to pull it up so people online can see?
Did you email me your final?
I do.
Just barely.
Where would be a good place to stand so everybody can just hang?
Right up there.
In the front, as a firing squad.
Wherever you feel comfortable.
While Myron's pulling that up, let me just introduce myself quickly. My name is Christopher Chestnut. I've been with UDOT about 7 years. For four of those years, I was up in Region 1, so the other end of the state. I was Region Planning Manager up there for those 4 years, so very similar, the exact same job that Chris Hall does for you all down here. That's what I did up in Region 1. And then for about 20 years before that, I worked for Utah Transit Authority. Drove buses, worked my way, went to school, went up through the organization. In the last 5 years, I oversaw the service development function. So as a senior manager of service development for UTA, which was daily operations and planning for all of the service and the system that you see. So, I don't know if we're going to see the presentation. I've got it here, just in case. So. But what I want to talk to you guys about today is the Transit Transportation Investment Fund Program. This is relatively new. It's about 4 or 5 years old. It was introduced to the legislature by the legislature back then. It takes money out of the TIF program and sets it aside for transit capital investment. And I just want to walk through it with you. My purpose today is to introduce the funding to you and begin to have you think about ways, if you would like, to have transit expand in this part of the state. So far, most of the money has gone to Wasatch Front. And I think this is an opportunity. These funds are available statewide for transit projects anywhere in the state where that's, we want to make sure that everybody knows about it. We're relatively a new group within Utah, within UDOT. We're about a year and a half old. I've been in my role about a year, and so I've spent the last year just getting my arms around the program and starting to put in some accountability and tracking the funds and making sure the projects are moving forward. So with that, let me have you go ahead, Myron. I'm going to have you drive. Let me just kind of talk a little bit about why transit is important. This is me and three of my children. I have five kids. My oldest daughter, she loves to drive. My oldest son, right here, he kind of likes to drive. My son, Logan, has zero interest in driving. None at all. And then what really kind of makes me think about the future a lot is the little girl right there, that's Sophia. She's autistic. She's 7 years old. So as a family, we talk about this quite a bit. What does her future look like? How is she going to participate in society? How is she going to get around? So we took her on the train to go get ice cream one day to kind of start getting her exposed to being out in the public and riding transit. Because I think that's probably going to be part of her life from now on. So, just want to introduce that. So let me go through some other reasons. Okay, Byron, next one. Carlos is pointing UDOT to be multimodal, to not just move cars, but to move people. And so he's been pointing us that way for the last several years now, leading in some good direction. Another piece that came along in 2023 is the legislature passed what's called House Bill 322, and it directs you not to be involved in management and oversight of major transit capital projects, particularly along the Wasatch Front. But TTIP is statewide. So there you go. Okay, the next one. So why is transit important? If you look at these kind of numbers, UTA did an economic impact, one more, Myron, an economic impact of when you invest in transit, what's kind of the outcome that you get in the economy? They found that for every dollar that UTA invests into transit, you get about $5 return. We don't know what that is here in St. George. We don't know what the transit return on investment would be. I think it'd be an interesting question to ask and find out. Right? What is your current transit system doing in terms of your economy? Okay, next. Ridership. UTA does about 150,000 boardings a day. For us on the UDOT side, that equates to lanes on I-15. Front Runner, the big train that runs up and down the Wasatch Front all 90 miles, is about between 14 and 18,000 riders a day. So pretty close to a lane on our freeway. So for us, transit makes a difference in moving people and helping the system work. Okay, next. But we recognize that transit's not going to work for everybody. It's not the best thing to do everywhere, but it does have some impact. So we just want you to start to think about transit as a piece of your transportation solution. Okay, next. You can go on to the next piece. That's 322. So what is TTIP? Go to the next. There's two parts to TTIP. There's the transit piece, and then there's first mile, last mile. Okay, go to the next one. Keep going. More. So TTIP, what are we looking for? And you guys, I hope the MPO, you are going to understand this first piece of it, and then I'll go through the next piece. So keep going, Myron. Let's do a couple more. So the vision for TTIP was to build these kind of big transit projects, to build high-capacity fixed guideway projects, but to also add, can you go one more, Myron? To add additional service onto the street. That's what we're trying to do with this. We're trying to find projects that we can make that investment in. The piece of it is, the legislation, is there's a 30% local match for the program, so whatever project comes up, total project cost, locals will take 30% of that, and the state does 70% of that. So, kind of give you an idea of where we're going with this. Okay, next. The other piece is first mile, last mile. Okay, Myron, one more. Keep going. And first mile, last mile, it's a little different with the big projects. I'll go through the process here in a second. You got to go through the long-range plan process. With first mile, last mile, it's purely nomination-based. So it's the projects that you guys come up with as local government entities to be those projects. And you're going to nominate those to UDOT when those nominations are open. Again, it's 30% local match. The idea is to build connections within your community that get people to transit. That's what we're trying to do. Not only build the transit system, but also build the system that connects people into transit. So think about sidewalks that connect to bus stops. Think about bike trails that can connect to bus stops and to train stations and transit stations, transit centers and those kinds of things. Okay? Right, next. So the process for TTIP funding. Let's go through this. Okay, go a couple more, Myron. This first piece is, this is the first piece. Okay, I'm going to go through this in some detail. You guys should be very familiar with this first piece. I'm hoping so, but I don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Okay, with some places I have to do a little more time. Since you guys are the MPO, I'm hoping you know this process. Okay, go ahead. So there's two ways, there's two options for you to get onto what I'll call the rate list for transit projects. Okay, option one, go ahead, Myron. You got to be part of an MPO and have a transit plan and have a long-range plan. Okay, go one more. That long-range plan is fed into what's called the statewide unified plan. I know Myron has talked to you guys about this. A statewide unified plan takes all of the plans and stitches them together. And we have a statewide unified plan. That plan is built into phases, phase one, two, and three. You should know that, right? In order to qualify for one path is Your transit project needs to be in phase one of your long-range plan and most likely fiscally constrained in that phase one. Okay, that's option one. That will just any transit project in the whole state that is in that phase one, we take and put that into our prioritization process. I'll talk about it in a second. Option two is you can nominate a project to the Transportation Commission and have that project put into the into that prioritization process. That nomination process is open from time to time. It's up to the commission as to when that process is open and when it's not. Okay, let me stop there. Any questions so far? Okay, all right, let's move on.
Chris, question.
Yeah.
So this project of participation doesn't involve the population? There's no limit on the population? There's no limit on the size of the county or the entity?
Well, yeah, like that's a piece of it. Like your population is a piece of the travel demand model, which hopefully you're using to guide where your transportation projects end up. Yes.
On the investment fund, how much money are we talking about? Is it vary each year, or what? How much is it?
It's continually increasing. I'm going to show you here at the end kind of where we sit today as far as how much money is in that fund. And I'm going to show you the balance. And this balance takes everything that's been funded and takes that out and just shows you the balance of what's in that fund. I'm going to show you that. Okay? Right now, the revenue is estimated about $15 million a year. Stay with us. Okay? All right, let's go to the next step. So once a project is identified in that phase one, it then goes through to our planning division for a prioritization process. And we have based this on, okay, Myra, next. We have based this on the quality of life framework. Hopefully you guys have heard about the quality of life framework. It's these four big goals: better mobility, good health, connected communities, a strong economy. And then we have a bunch of metrics in there that rank projects according to those. We have a bunch of metrics in there that rank all the projects and compare them if you want to get some other across the state. And you have a rank list. So then it goes, okay, well now we're going to fund it. There's four separate funding pots of money. There's the highway, active transportation. I think Stephanie has been down here with her team talking about ATIF and Utah Trail Network and all of those things, right? The other piece is the transit piece, which has transit capacity plus the first mile, last mile. So very similar to ATIF. Next, what comes out of that process is a ranked list of projects. That ranked list is the best thing I can make an analogy to is a hunting license. This gives, if it's not on that list, it may be the greatest thing ever. If it's not on that list, according to legislation, our commission cannot fund it. So once you get on that list, it's up to the commission to program those funds for those projects. They can take them out of order if they want. They just have to do it in a public meeting. Okay? So the list doesn't tell us what to do. It just tells us what's eligible to do. Okay? So let me stop there. Any questions on how that works? Yeah.
You know, some of the trails around here are service our local economy and local businesses, their employees. Others are focused on trips. Our Zion to Laverkin and all points beyond, etc. Do they distinguish between the two? Because you can't ask every rider where are you from and where you go.
I would say no, we're just looking for the best projects.
Okay.
We want projects that move people. That's what we want. Okay, next, Myron. So, go a couple more. So once it's on that list, I've kind of explained this a little bit. Then it goes to programming through, go one more. Which decides how much funding is there and when the project will be built. So you may get funding, and then maybe in year 26 or 27 or whatever. And so it just basically says money and then you go to funding. Yeah.
Is the funding all just for building projects, or is there O&M money?
mainly building projects right now. A little bit, if the maintenance is how we've kind of interpreted the legislation so far, is if it's not the majority of the cost of the project, it has to be smaller than the project you're doing. So if you need to build a maintenance facility to expand your operation, you can do that as long as that's not the major piece of it. So we're not going to go fund the building or maintenance facility. Okay? Good question. We get asked that a lot. I mean, I know it's a need. We know it's a need that most transit agencies and properties have. Okay, next. Okay, then the last part is just once that project is identified and you have funding, you start having conversations, go Myra, go more, then it's about getting into the details. So we're gonna come and go, all right, let's get into the details. Who's going to be responsible for the local government end to build the project? Who, where's the funding going to come from for the local match? What's the schedule going to be? Who's going to be responsible for procurement of contractors? Who your UDOT project manager will be? All of those questions will start to come up. We'll put together an agreement that outlines the roles and responsibilities, a schedule for delivery, what happens if you don't deliver, all of those kinds of fun conversations that we get to have. Just so you know, the project manager will always come from the region office, unless otherwise noted. But our plan moving forward is the region is always the face of all of our projects. I'm on the back end helping to support the region and helping to make sure the projects get delivered whenever you said that they're supposed to be delivered. Okay, so with that, let me kind of jump into, go ahead. Any other questions on that? That's kind of the process. Long range plan or nominations, and then we go through the process of getting on ranked lists and then programming projects, okay? Where we are today. So since the project began about 5 years ago, we've completed 11 projects across the state. We currently have 41 projects that we're working on right now, and the total value of that's about $400 million, $477 million. So it's not a small amount of money that we're trying to put into transit to get all of this transit happening. That's the value, not budget. Okay, go to the next piece. So we asked how much is in the fund right now. Right now, we're sitting on about $125 million in the program, estimated to go up over the next few years to pretty close to $200 million. And this is the balance. This isn't what we're spending. This is what we have available to program. So there you go. That kind of gives you an idea. Okay?
Can you piggyback another trail that the legislature's already partially funded? The Zion route?
Oh, the Zion bus route? Or the trail?
Trail.
I don't know. I do transit.
That would fall under a different program.
Yeah, it'd be a different program. Yeah. This would be the transit program. Yeah. So you can, I guess, if you want to connect, as long as that trail is going to connect to transit, I think there's opportunities to work together on
savings. Well, maybe to that point then, what specific projects throughout the county would fall under? I mean, just thinking 5-10 years out.
Yeah.
Capacity improvements for SunTran. As possibility of that, the Zion route as it expands in the future. This is really focused on capacity, this program.
So what are the projects that has been funded that Washington City got some buses paid for? So St. George SunTransit expanded to Washington City. Another good example of that is now that there's some transit into Hurricane City, and Hurricane City said, we want more transit inside the city to connect to that route so people can get to St. George. That would be another one, a capacity project to start some buses or something in Hurricane City or a different municipality to connect to that system, bus stops and everything.
We have this new Zion's route. It was like, how do we get people to
that bus stop. Mm-hmm. And that we call it the first last mile type of situation. Those are the type of projects.
You take those routes, you know, we talk specific to transit, and again, I'm just trying to get my head, as I think about that, I think 90 miles, like the Wasatch Front, okay, that gets us almost to Beaver, you know, so then you go, what are the routes specific to this, and you go, so you talk parking, you talk, okay, we're trying to get people to these areas, and then get them out of design, and that, would the ability to build a parking garage or something, would that fall under this, where it's saying, hey, we got to get them here, and then... And then we can get that. Is that eligible?
Yeah. So think about mobility hubs. We're talking about mobility hubs up at the University of Utah, where multiple transit modes or buses come together. You could do something like that. Or we haven't done parking garage yet, but I don't know why that wouldn't. I think it'd be an interesting conversation to have about, could we build a parking garage so people could park and then ride transit to get somewhere.
That would add a new layer.
Yeah.
Another good example is the East Zion Transit that the county's looking at. That could be a capacity project to start or help purchase buses for that East Zion Transit that would be funded through this, if it was nominated. This is a little bit different because that's outside the MPO area, so it wouldn't be on the unified plan, but we could work to nominate it, get it on that list so it could be funded. But that's another capacity type project that could be funded through this.
Yeah.
In my first year in the commission, I pushed for the transit in Washington County, and that's when we got the $50 million the seat for the transit system. So we're really perfectly poised to take advantage of this opportunity to expand throughout the county, from Santa Clara to Ivins, even beyond, we can put under this system. So if we can get there. And the Biden is so good to get these implementations of this, the numbers, put the ranking system, so we can do that easily. The commission can see that we have really, and every place you go, they say that Washington County is the fastest growing county by doing that. So we need that system in place to get the people out.
I'm just thinking about the way Sunshine is being run right now. Cameron and I've had a bunch of conversations about this, because the challenge is that you can buy the bus and then, you know, you get the bus drivers, but like, it's got to be convenient for people. It's got to show up where they needed to show up. The times have got to be convenient. The locations have got to be convenient. I actually just went and rode the bus to Zion for the first time just to test it out. It was great. I mean, it was very convenient, although you had to use cash and you couldn't have any, it had to be exact change. You know, those are the kind of little things that for us as a city or as our county, then we need funding for like a system. Who's going to manage the system, you know, the intake of the money, and do we have cards, and then is that a whole other system that we have to run? So is there money for that type of thing? You know, so when you're working, we might be unique in the sense that we have St. George City running a bus system that's servicing the entire county. I don't know if that's anywhere else in the state where it's done like that, or one city.
Yeah.
There's a few. Okay. So, you know, it's just unique because it's like we're in this growth stage of how does it need to change, how does it need to grow to work best for our community so that we can, you know, get people to actually use it.
Yeah.
So is there funding, I guess is what I'm asking, you know, for things like, you know, UTA, fare systems, yeah, that type of thing.
It's a great question. We've never had it brought up yet. We haven't had it brought up yet, so I think it'd be good to just, for lack of a better term, run a test balloon and go, what about this, right? It adds capacity to the system.
Right.
What is that something that we can look at? Maybe higher? Yeah.
Danielle was asking the same question I was thinking about. When I think about transit and what makes it work and what makes it not work, it really has to get down to convenience. And you think about your Uber app, you know, when you go on Uber, you know where your driver's at, you know when he's going to get there. If the state could invest in something similar, I know there's something called VIA out there that's trying to do something similar to this, but if the drivers could, or if the passengers and citizens could use an app, so they look on it, they actually know, well, gee, I'm going to go take a bus, it's only 5 minutes away, you know, it's coming up the street, they can literally see it, they can pay. We've got to make it convenient, or nobody's going to use it.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
All your guys are
in
all in key to this.
Trying to get funding.
But it's not easy. Now, what we're suggesting takes development. It takes, you know, it takes, it would take a lot of money to get an app and get it, get all the bugs worked out of it and actually have somebody run it. But maybe it's something the state could look at because, well, I'm just, and I'll say one last thing. I know UDOT didn't like getting this kind of given to them, but UTA, I hope you guys end up just running transit in this state. I have a lot more confidence in UDOT. And since we're on the record, but nobody cares.
It's been wonderful. It's just been a wonderful job to get the transit new cases much more. It's getting more and more improved.
More confidence.
Just a question back to you.
Yeah, I can probably give a little bit of context where SunTran is. So we are aware of this program, the TTIP. Chris mentioned that Washington used it, and that was it was to use some of their local masher to help with them on that bus purchase. We haven't used it in the past yet because of the size of what SunTran has been and the amount of federal monies that we got coming in. We haven't been able to use all the federal monies. Within the next 5 years, we'll be growing large enough to where we will be using some of this money, and especially just for the capital purchases like buses. There's, if we go to expand, we've been talking about, hey, we may need to expand our transit center, our transfer locations, and so that bricks and mortar, I think we'd be able to use it on. I haven't explored it yet to see when we go to buy buses, if it can, it's an 80-20 for federal money, local match 20%, and whether or not it can pay for that 20% local match. The thing that we've always been very cognizant of is once you buy the equipment, the extra buses, you have to have money to be able to pay for the operations. And that before or prior to the transit sales tax, we didn't have that. We were just paying for it out of our local funds. And so now with that transit sales tax, now that Zion Route is up and running, now we are looking at expanding. And so we will be looking at this as one of the funding scenarios again. We have a certain amount of federal dollars coming in, and with the growth of SunTran, with the next few routes that we add to it, we will be hitting that amount to where we won't have the federal monies available as much. And so that's when we're, in the next 5 years, that's why I say we will be reaching out and start programming and hoping to get some of these monies. But that's why we haven't used it in the past, is because we've been small enough that if we would have used this in the past, we would have been not spending the federal dollars, and that's a big issue that they don't want us to give that federal money back to them. But that's why we haven't been using it.
So I think just to answer that question, can use the TTIP dollars to match federal dollars issue. Yep. And vice versa. If you have a federal grant or a federal program that comes in, you can use that to match it to the TTIP program. We want to maximize the dollars, maximize the return, and do really great projects. That's what we're trying to do.
Oh, and back to your comment, so we do have an app online right now that shows where the buses are, GPS tracker. We still haven't gotten the ticketing app up and running. It's been developed. It's just in the onboarding phase between Little Pay, the merchant, to be able to pay, take your credit cards, and the CEO of the company that's doing our development, our app for us. And so I thought it was going to be up and running in December, and it's not. And I've been hounding them and bugging them, but I apologize that it's not up and running. But we do have an app developed for the ticketing app.
I'd love to hear it. Okay, awesome. Let's jump. Let me kind of show you just some of the projects that are happening right now. There's one here, then I'll be done. Myron, want to jump to the next? So here's just some projects, right? We built sidewalk and bus stops here on Telegraph Hill in Washington City. We did a similar thing up in Salt Lake. We built sidewalks that connected the track station, the light rail line, to the new stadium, to the soccer stadium, because there's so many people that walk back and forth between there. So we built gigantic sidewalks next to the Larry Miller property so people could walk between the stadium and the train station. Okay, next. Up in Ogden, we did the BRT line next. Jeez, I put these in the wrong spots. There is there's a service, we already talked about the service down in Washington City. We did something similar up in Cashville and bought some buses for them. As far as upcoming projects, we have several projects that we've matched. We're taking TTIP dollars, and we're going to match a federal grant that is going to build a bunch of trails that's going to connect to different transit lines in Salt Lake County. And we were in Utah counties as well, about 15 projects is something that we're. And then here locally, up at Bryanhead, we're funding and building and constructing some crosswalks and bus stops and things like that for Bryanhead as well. That's a current project that's happening. Okay, next. Maybe? Oh, jeez. I totally put them all in the wrong order. I thought I had them layered correctly, but I don't. So there's a bunch of projects that are coming, BRT lines and extending the S line, and those are all happening right now as we speak. Not to mention Front Runner routing, double tracking the Front Runner, and going after a big federal program there so that we can run Front Runner more frequently along the S run. What's happening now is, as far as the next steps for this program, we're just trying to get the pipeline to keep what we have in there, keep it going and get projects pushing out of that pipeline. And the second piece is what I'm doing here. I have several places in the state that I want to go to and have this very same presentation and conversation. We're trying to push knowledge of this program out so you all can think about your local transit needs and how we can partner together to make it happen. And then ongoing in the future, we're going to keep tinkering with the process to make sure that we can get it to maximize that return. So with that, that's everything. Any other questions that you guys have? Great conversation so far today. This is our transit team right now. This is me on the very end. I'm the program manager. Jim Golden is our division director. He makes sure that we all behave ourselves. Travis Jones has lots of years of transit engineering experience, so he's helping with design and construction transit projects. So that's a skill that we offer and we can bring to the table as well. Thad Pinkerton handles and has built, constructed big roadway projects and is now doing the same thing for transit. So I saw one more hand. Yes.
Yeah, so we've submitted a project recently for TIP Active, but it also would have qualified for the first last mile. Can we submit to both of those programs, or we have to pick one of the other?
I would suggest it.
Okay.
I'd say that way we're not going, when we get them, then it's a conversation between me and Eric and Stephanie. We're like, which one is it? So, yeah, just yeah, pick one. Whatever one you think is most appropriate.
Unless you want to split the projects, go A in one source and then B in another source.
Yeah, we were just thinking, I was just thinking because of the lower match on the first last mile, but I think typically we've ranked higher in the TIP Active, depending on what the priority of the project is. So just curious. Thanks.
Awesome. Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm inclined to ask for some very, very brief updates and bring this meeting to a close, following which I would ask that all of the COG participants quickly go through the buffet line and come back in, and then everyone else is welcome to get lunch and eat in here. Well, the county carries that on. That sound all right? All right, so jumping to local updates, postpone them if you can. Great. UDOT, one project.
Two. I just want to let you know, so the 6-8 project, we are underway in design. We started in December. It'll probably be an 18-month design, and then construction in years 27, 28. The other thing I just wanted to let the group know is we're prepared to take the SR18 Bluff Street, South Bluff Street project to the commission to add scope and funding to that project so that we can build out the west side. So we build now so we don't do rework in the future. It'll cost us about $3.2 million and save almost $8 million in the future for that work right now. Including in that is we have partnered with the city as a request to add a multi-use trail on the west side of the road from Main Street up to 100 South. That project itself, because it'll be increasing like heights and walls and stuff, it's $3.5 million, and the city has agreed to have a 50-50 split with the state on that. So we're going to be taking that commission for their approval. approval in February.
Thank you.
Would the 6 to 8 include the flood street?
Yes.
Can we summarize the federal updates with changes coming? Or is there more? None here, huh? Okay. They all know change is coming. All right, upcoming meeting dates. Particular attention to the Transportation Expo on February 11th. Let's get that in, on all our calendars. Motion to adjourn. Thank you. Second, moved and second. All in favor? Okay, we stand adjourned. So if you COG folks would quick go through the food line and come back in, and then all of you please put your lunch where you go.